I want to speak to you from just one verse of God's Word, coming from Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 16. I would wish that I could read the whole context, so we have this verse in context, but I fear that the context is so large that time will not allow that. But let us hear God's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I want to speak this morning to those of you, especially who are pastors or who are looking to be pastors of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to start by asking two questions. And in order to hear these questions, try to put your mind into the future, to that day perhaps when your hair is as white as mine is, and you are coming to the point that perhaps your congregation is going to have a celebration as you go into retirement after a life of service in the ministry. Now, thinking of that setting, I want you to consider, first of all, this question. What would you wish that your congregation would be saying about you on that occasion? What would you hope that they would be thinking about you on that occasion? Would you be hoping and praying that this is what they would be thinking? Oh, I am so thankful to God for this pastor that we have had for so many years, because he's the one that led me to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, or he's the one that was so instrumental in building me up in the knowledge of the faith, that I might be strengthened and encouraged, that I might be turned away from my wicked heart and led in the path by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm so thankful to God for him. Now, my second question is really the question I want you to think about more. But I had to lay the foundation with that first question. Considering that same circumstance, how are you going to look back upon your ministry? What are your thoughts going to be about that ministry? Are you going to repeat those words of what you hope and pray would be the thoughts of the congregation? Oh, how blessed this congregation was that they had me as a pastor. How much I have done in the service of God, sacrificing, struggling, bearing with them. Oh, how thankful they ought to be that I have been the one to serve them. I see the smiles on some of your faces. Or would you say, when I have done all, I am an unprofitable servant because I have only done what God has commanded me to do. And the words of Paul in this epistle point to the answer we should be giving to that second question. He says, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting." And as we consider his words, I want this morning to consider three things. And I want to see in these three things that Paul's understanding of his gospel call is a model for our understanding of our gospel call. First of all, I want us to see the motive for the proclamation of the gospel. Secondly, I want us to see what the message of our proclamation is to be. And finally, I want to see what the manner of our ministry is to be, or the means of setting forth that gospel. We come first then to see the motive of the Paul's ministry and what should be the motive of our ministry. Now this is where the context of the passage would help us. Paul writes these words as he's speaking of his own ministry among the Corinthians when he was there, and how he preached the gospel free of charge, even though the law indicated that the laborer is worthy of his hire, and that the law said that you shall not muzzle the ox as he treads the grain. And Paul says God is not so concerned for oxen, but he's concerned for us, that we might have the fruit of our labor. But Paul says he was willing to give all of that up. And the reason he was willing to give that up is because he understood that his proclamation of the gospel was not motivated by what he could gain from the proclamation of the gospel. It was not something that he could boast in so that he could expect to receive something from it because it earned him something. No, he says, on the other hand, the gospel proclamation comes because necessity, compulsion in some other translations, obligation is laid upon me. Paul understood that what drove him to proclaim the gospel was not any benefit that he could receive from that proclamation of the gospel, but because he was under obligation. And the obligation was the obligation based upon the working of God in his own heart and life. This obligation he knew from the very beginning of his call when he was converted and when he went in Acts chapter 9 to Ananias the disciple that his blindness might be healed. And when Ananias spoke to him what God had told to Ananias, and in Acts 9, 15 and 16, Ananias says that God has said he will show you what you must suffer for his sake. God had redeemed him from a life of futility, a life which led him to persecute the church of Jesus Christ, and in so doing, persecute the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as God called him out of that life of dead works to the glory of the gospel of his son, he says to him through Ananias, I'm going to show you what you must suffer for my name's sake as I call you to be the one who will proclaim the gospel among the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul understood the obligation that was upon him. And I think if we examine this obligation, I think we can see two aspects of it. One is the obligation of thanksgiving. Paul was aware of what the redemption of Jesus Christ meant for him. He speaks of it over and over in his epistles. He says, I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Christ. He says, I am the chief of sinners, but God had grace upon me. And brothers and sisters who sit here and listen, we have no less obligation of thanksgiving than the Apostle Paul had. It does not really matter if we were called to faith from the world or if we grew up in the covenant community of the church. It is still the case for every one of us who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ that he called us out of darkness into light and caused the light of the gospel to shine upon our hearts that we might be redeemed from this present evil age. And if Paul felt that obligation of thanksgiving, we ought also to feel that obligation of thanksgiving. The obligation also has a second way, a second thing to think about. It was an obligation of thanksgiving that drove the apostle to call others that they might receive the same redemption that he had received. there is the obligation also to share the reproach of Christ. Jesus said to the other apostles among whom he ministered, "A servant is not above his master, nor is the one who is sent above him who sent him. If the world has hated me, it will hate you." And Paul understood that. And these obligations that Paul felt were enforced by a sanction. And he mentions the sanction. He says, "Woe to me if I preach not the gospel." I remember the statement of a man that I respect. At least I've never met him, but I know of him, who said that no one has the right to preach the gospel who is not called to it. And I entirely agree with that statement. But brothers, and I'm talking to the brothers now who have been called to preach the gospel, if you are called, then hear the words of Paul. "Woe to you if you don't preach the gospel." If that is God's calling for you, then there is woe to come if you should shirk it because it becomes inconvenient, or because opposition arises, and or because it becomes uncomfortable for you to fulfill it. Paul had opposition. Paul had circumstances, I think, beyond anything that any of us here have ever suffered. And yet he says, "Woe to me if I preach not the gospel." What shall motivate us? The thought that we can earn God's favor by our service? Paul says the preaching of the gospel provides no grounds for boasting. The desire to be able to exhibit the spiritual scalps, so to speak, that we can demonstrate, look at the great numbers who have come to faith through my proclamation. Look at this, look at that. Or shall we be motivated by the same things that motivated the apostles? Necessity is laid upon me. Obligation is laid upon me. Compulsion is laid upon me because I have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has commissioned me to proclaim that redemption to others. Then in the second place, I want to talk about the message of our service. Now, I wish I didn't have to include this as one of the points in this sermon. I wish it was the case in the day and age that we live in that when people hear the preaching of the gospel, it would be crystal clear what the word gospel means. But unfortunately, in our day, it is not clear. And there are those who are claiming to be servants, ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and proclaiming the gospel, or ministering the gospel, and this is not truly what they are ministering. What is the gospel? Is the gospel good news? Because it offers us a life of prosperity. Is the gospel good news? Because it offers us a life of peace that is unconflicted with no obstacles in it. Is the gospel good news because it is a message of political liberation? Or is the gospel good news because it offers a message of economic development? The gospel, brothers and sisters, is good news because it is the message of redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ, that those who have been rebels and sinners and who have slapped God in his face by their disobedience and sin are redeemed by his blood and by his grace through his sacrifice, through his death, and through his resurrection. The gospel is good news because it tells us that it is possible to be transferred from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And that's the message that every gospel minister is called to proclaim. And even if you stand every Sunday in a pulpit and open your mouth and speak, and that's not the message that is coming forth from your mouth, then, brothers, you still have to hear the words of the Apostle Paul, "Woe to me if I preach not the gospel." If we preach a substitute for that gospel, then God's woe is upon us, because we are commissioned to preach the good news of salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, finally, and once again, I wish it was not necessary that I had to go into this and make it one of the points of this message. The manner of communication that we are called to. The Apostle Paul says, "Woe to me if I preach not the gospel." The church in our day, I believe, has listened to a false trumpet in many cases. There are many who are saying to us that preaching is old-fashioned, that it's no longer a convenient or proper way of communicating the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we need to look for other methods that are more effective than what Paul calls in another place the foolishness of preaching. But I believe that God's word in the New Testament is clear, that it is preaching which is God's ordained way to proclaim the message of salvation to the lost. That's what happened from the first. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter stood before the multitude and preached the gospel to them. The same was true of the Apostle Paul and others. God has called his ambassadors to proclaim the word. Proclamation is essential. Now I know there are scholars, I mentioned the verse, by the foolishness of preaching. And there are scholars that say, Dr. Wingard, you're not a very good Greek scholar. The word kerygma really has to do with the content of what is communicated and not with the method by which it is communicated. Yes, that is true. The word kerygma does speak of the content, but it speaks of the content that is proclaimed, that is preached. And you cannot take out the proclamation aspect from the word kerygma. It is, the two things are tied together in the very language of Scripture. Paul uses a different word here in Corinthians to speak of preaching, but it still means preaching, proclamation. And brothers, that's the primary function that you are called to as a minister of the Word of God, to proclaim that Word, to herald it, to announce it. That's what Paul says was the obligation upon himself. Woe to me if I preach not the gospel. It is preaching that God has ordained. As foolish as it seems, it is preaching that God has ordained to bring life into dead hearts, to raise the spiritually dead. And that's what preachers are called to do. And that's what you are being trained to do here at Macaño. Every course that you take, you should say to yourself, how will this enable me to stand before God's people and proclaim the gospel of His grace? This is God's calling to us. Not that we can boast in it. Not that there's merit in it, in terms of our salvation. But because there's an obligation, which is our motive. Because there's a message, which is the good news of redemption in Jesus Christ. And because there is a method, and the method is the proclamation, the preaching of that good news of Christ Jesus. May it be that you are being equipped here for that service, for that proclamation, for that ministry, that the woe that Paul talks about does not come upon you, as I pray that it will not come upon me. Brothers, if we are called to the gospel ministry, woe to us if we preach not the gospel. May God bless you, and may God bless His word.